My name is Farrah Lindenbar, and if this is your first time tuning in, on this show, I give advice to any folks and creatures who may need it. So, some of you listeners might remember a while back when I joined a book club. It did not go well. Long story short, I didn't finish the book in time, used a spell to put the memory of reading the book in my head, didn't realize until the meeting that I'd accidentally picked up the Gnomish translation of the book and could only discuss it in Gnomish, which no one else at the meeting spoke. I decided not to return to the book club after that. Until recently, when my best friend Radra decided she wanted to read more and asked me to sign back up for the book club with her. I figured by this point maybe people had forgotten about my mishap, so I agreed to return. This time, I made sure to give myself enough time to finish the book. And good thing, too, because it took a long time to finish. The book was actually one of those Your Choice books, where you make decisions at certain points while reading, and those choices inform how the story progresses. What was the title? It was called A House of Fire and Flowers and Bugs and Other Stuff. It was a great book, very fun, lots of twists and turns. I finished it about an hour before the meeting, and I was ready to discuss. In a language everyone would understand this time. Of course, I knew that since it was a Your Choice book, everyone would have had slightly different reading experiences, but there are about 20 people in the club, so I figured everyone would have significant overlap with at least one other person. Well, Radra and I got to the meeting. No one seemed to remember me from the Gnomish incident. Or, if they did, they didn't show it. Even so, I kept to myself for a while and just listened to everyone talk about their experiences reading the book. But I felt like the group was really focused on the first half of the story, and there was one part later in the book that I really wanted to talk about. It's the scene with an underwater cave and were-mermaids, and I won't spoil it for anyone. So I brought it up. Blank stares all around the circle. I explained the scene a little more, hoping to jog some memories. Nothing. No one had gotten that scene in the book. I thought that was pretty wild, but I didn't think too much of it. A lot of the paths one can take while reading the book split and then come back together, so I tried to bring up an earlier scene where the protagonist was on a haunted pirate ship. A few people said they remembered mention of a pirate ship in the distance, but the protagonist never got on it in the stories they read. By this point, some of the other people in the club looked like they thought I was just making stuff up. But I was determined to prove that I'd actually read the book this time, so I proceeded to describe the entire book I'd read. Everyone was nodding along for the beginning of the story, and a good amount of people continued nodding throughout the first half. Then, I got to the scene on page 157, where the protagonist could choose to break the rock to free the enchanted sword, try to loosen up the sword with some butter before pulling it out, or do a special dance that was rumored to be the key to freeing the sword. The other book club members who'd also gotten to that point started laughing. They said that the dancing thing wasn't one of the options. But that was the option I'd chosen, so I didn't see how it could be possible that it wasn't an option. After that, none of the scenes I described were familiar to anyone. It was like I'd read a completely different story. I had to pull out my copy and show them just to prove I wasn't making it up. Then Radra showed me her copy, and the others were right. No one else had gotten that third option for freeing the sword. In fact, apparently the sword decision was one of the last choices in the book. Which I guess was why it seemed like everyone was only talking about the first half of the story. That was all they'd read. But somehow, with my copy of the book, I'd managed to unlock a whole other story that no one else had gotten. No one really knew what to do with me after that, so they wrapped up the meeting. I know it wasn't my fault this time, but I still felt kind of embarrassed. Probably won't go back to the book club for a while again. Not just because of this incident, but the snacks have really worsened in quality since the last time I was there. Just not worth it. Besides, Radra asked if she could borrow my copy of the book, so we'll be able to talk about the were-mermaids once she's done. Oh, if anyone out there has ever read A House of Fire and Flowers and Bugs and Other Stuff and got the choice to dance the enchanted sword out of the rock, please send me a letter. Was it a special edition, or... Anyway, while I can't solve all of my own conundrums, let's see if I can solve any of yours. If you need some advice, you can send your letters to Dearless Fira at the Towering Forest radio station. Our first letter is from Alirala. They write, Dearless Fira, my name is Alirala. I'm a first-year student at Soneal Hall University, studying Grevlonian history. I'm the third generation in my family to go to SHU. Both my mother and her mother went here. They were both very excited when I got in, and I was too. SHU has a great history department, a recreational vineball league, and a bunch of my friends also go here, so I have everything I need. My mom and grandma disagree. they don't think my university experience can be complete until I get into the sorority they were both a part of when they went here, Fire Pi. All the sororities at CHU are named after pies. FP is so important to both of them. My mom was even president of her chapter her senior year. I've already tried telling them that I don't have any interest in being an FP. I have nothing against sororities, but I already have a packed schedule. Between classes and clubs and friends, I don't know when I'd fit in Fire Pie's dances and fundraisers and midnight hunts. But my grandma told me that if I rush, even if I don't get in, she'll get me one of those fancy handcrafted scroll cases. My current scroll case has a big hole in the bottom, which, believe it or not, makes it not too great at holding scrolls. So I agreed. Rushing Fire Pie involves a series of trials and challenges, so I figured I could just purposefully blow it and be out the first round. Even if they found out I'm a legacy, I figured they still wouldn't be able to let me in if I failed all of their trials. Last week was the first round, which was just an interview with a current Fire Pie member. Here my issue was revealed. My family has this thing. A blessing, I guess. We're all very charismatic, to magical proportions. There are different versions of the story told by different family members, but the summary is that my great-great-lots-of-greats grandmother got on the good side of a very powerful fairy. So now we're all super likable to everyone, even those who tend to not like anyone. This can be nice, most of the time, but not when you're actively trying to not be liked. I tried everything I could in that interview for the person interviewing me to dislike me, but it didn't work. She was absolutely charmed. At one point, I got so fed up that I just reached over and tore up her notes, and she thought it was the funniest thing ever. She said she'd been meaning to work on improving her memory, so I was really giving her that push to do so. It made me want to scream. So I did. She stared at me for a second, and I thought maybe I'd done it. Then she complimented me on my lung capacity and said I'd be perfect for the fire choir. Against my best efforts, I passed the first round with flying colors. This week was the second round, and I thought there was no way I could fail at throwing that. Round two is non-lethal combat against the FP mascot, Kimmy the Chimera. All I had to do was get knocked around a bit by a chimera. Simple. As you might have been able to guess, it wasn't that simple. The battle began, and I made a half-hearted swing at Kimmy with my sword. Then, instead of swiping back, the chimera rolled over on her back and just stared at me, panting, waiting for me to scratch her stomach. The crowd went nuts. People said I'd set a record for the fastest combat in Fire Pie Rush history. This is all in capital letters. But I didn't even do anything! Now I'm getting nervous. There's only one round left, and now people are talking like I'm a shoo-in. Word even got back to my mom and grandma, and now they're coming to watch the third round. I know, I probably deserve it for agreeing to rush to get that scroll case, but in my defense, I never promised I'd try. I just said I'd do it. How was I supposed to know my ancestral magical charisma would make it so I wouldn't even have to try? Next week is round three, the final round, a battle royale between everyone rushing for Fire Pie. The last 15 people standing make it in. Based on my short-lived battle with the Chimera, I'm worried no one's even going to try to go after me. Even if I just stand in the corner, I'll probably still make it. So I need advice. How do I lose this battle if I can't help charming everyone in that arena? Thanks, Alirala. Wow, a lot going on. Well, at least you're aware that maybe agreeing to your grandma's terms with the intention of purposefully failing wasn't the most honest way of going about things, but I can understand the allure of a nice scroll case. Also, if your current scroll case literally has holes in it, it'd be nice if your grandma would get it for you just because you need it, not as a tool to get you to do something you have no interest in. So don't be too hard on yourself. Okay, I have a few ideas. Instead of trying to fight against your ancestral charm, maybe you can try using it for your own means. You'll be in a battle royale, right? All you need to do is convince one person to hit you. It might be hard to do that in the heat of battle, especially if you're trying to be subtle about it, but maybe you can find one of the other people rushing beforehand and convince them to take a swing at you. If you can't get anyone to attack you, I think your next move would be to throw yourself in the path of a weapon in a way that seems accidental. Now, it's very important that it doesn't look like you're sacrificing yourself for someone, because I could see them making an exception to reward your sacrifice. You need to get yourself hit in a way that Fire Pie couldn't possibly come up with an excuse to let you in anyway, while still making it seem like you weren't trying to get hit. The last idea I had involves getting your hands on a transfiguration spell. If you have a friend who's willing, transfigure them to look like you and go into the battle royale on your behalf. That way, they'll be in the fight as you without having your ancestral charisma to deter the others from attacking you, them. Hopefully one of these solutions can help you throw the final round. Worst comes the worst, if you find yourself in the battle, unable to get hit, just collapse dramatically to the ground and say you got hit by a spell or an invisible spear or something. With so many people fighting, it's unlikely anyone would be able to see that no one actually attacked you. I hope that helps. Thanks for writing in. Our next letter comes from Garv, who writes, Dear Lysphera, I recently opened a restaurant called Garv's Cave of Mysteries. It's located at the base of a mountain known to contain many cave systems that adventurers traverse on their quests, so I figured it'd be the perfect place for a restaurant. Adventurers gotta eat too, after all. The business wouldn't be able to survive solely off of the adventurers, though, so I designed the restaurant to resemble one of the caves. You know, multicolored crystals, puzzles written on the walls, glowing weapons hanging suspended in midair, stuff like that. I even hired actors to play guardians and wizards and damsels in distress. The plan was for this place to attract tourists who want to experience adventuring in a magical cave without any of the risk or peril. Here's my problem. Ever since we opened, we haven't had a single week where we didn't get a band of adventurers charging in, thinking the restaurant was one of the actual magical caves. Which is a compliment to my interior design, I know, but it's been a real hassle for my staff. I've had 5 waiters held at sword point, 3 busboys who've been mistaken for ancient immortal guardians, and 1 chef who is accidentally recruited to the adventurer's cause, despite knowing full well that the treasure chest by the bathrooms is just full of a bunch of painted rocks. Thankfully, this misfortunate misunderstanding hasn't yet deterred any of our non-adventurer patrons from coming to the restaurant. More often than not, they think these adventurers are a planned part of their dining experience. But I'm worried that one day someone with a battle axe is going to come in and mistake a weary family of 5 for a pack of zombies and put a real damper on the lunch rush that day. How can I deter these adventurers from thinking my restaurant is a quest they need to complete? I've tried signage, but they all just read the sign and say, "Not a real magical cave? That's just what someone hiding a magical cave would want us to think." So I'm out of ideas. Any advice is appreciated. Thanks, Garv. Okay, this restaurant sounds super fun. I definitely need to visit. Of course, I'm not as eager to go if there's a chance I might get swung at by an adventurer, so let's solve your problem, shall we? I can definitely see the issue with the signage not working. I've read enough books about adventurers to know that a keep out sign is often more effective than an enter sign. If you can't convince the adventurers that there's no quest to be had, maybe you just need to give them one. Like, as they enter, you can have a disembodied voice tell them that the restaurant and all of its employees and customers have been trapped in time, and that the adventurers need to solve a riddle to free everyone. That way, they can have their little adventure without disturbing any of the innocent people in the restaurant. Then, once they've solved the riddle, the disembodied voice can be like, "No!" And then you can have lightning flash and thunder and other magical-looking effects, and everyone applauds. And then you can give them, like, free appetizers as a thank you for rescuing everyone. Now you've got a show for your customers, a quest for those who are looking for one, and the adventurers might even stay for a meal afterwards. You should probably still leave the sign out just to give the adventurers a chance to understand that your restaurant isn't a real magical cave. But if they choose to ignore the warning, then they can go on a fake adventure. I hope that helps. Thanks for writing in. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to take a call. If you need some advice, you can tell your speaking plant to call Dear Lysphera at the Towering Forest radio station. But first, a word from our sponsor. Bringing the same crossbow to every combat can be a bore. Try shaking things up with Silver Armor, Grevlon's best bi-monthly weapon box subscription. Silver Armor. Battle-ready weapons delivered directly to wherever you've set up camp. From swords to flails to slingshots, your bi-monthly delivery will have you ready for whatever fights are to come. With a Silver Armor subscription, you can save time on buying weapons and sharpening blades and stringing bows. Named Best Weapon Delivery Box by Dungeoneer's Digest, Silver Armor has a variety of plans for adventurers of all calibers. With our premium plan, you get the weapon of the bi-month plus 50 feet of hempen rope. So tell your speaking plant to order your Silver Armor weapon box today. Silver Armor. Stocking your armory has never been easier. And we're back with Dear Lysphera. And we've got a caller on the vine. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Lysphera. My name's Abel, calling from the hills of Longforn.
Hi, Abel. Thanks for calling in. What can I help you with today?
So, I recently moved to the area. Got this very nice cottage for a great price. Plus, it has a big backyard that's perfect for my axe-throwing practice. It's great.
I've been doing this for long enough to feel a butt coming on.
Well, I'm not really sure it is a butt. I'm not sure what to make of it at all. Ever since the first night I moved in, there'll be a knock on the back door at exactly 7 sharp. When I open the door, no one's there. But there will always be a full plate of food sitting on the little bench by the door.
Ooh, what kind of food?
Really delicious-looking dinner food. It changes every day. Yesterday, it was gollywaddle chops and spinach.
Delicious-looking? So you've never eaten the meal?
No, I haven't. I don't judge anyone who does, but I'm not one to eat strange meals that arrive on my doorstep.
I get that. One time I ate a cookie from a box that was left outside of our tree. Turns out it was actually special soap our neighbor had dropped off that he carved to look like cookies. I had bubbles coming out of my nose for the next day and a half. It still tasted pretty good, though. Anyway, have you tried catching a glimpse of whoever's leaving the food?
Yep. I hid in the bushes for an hour waiting for the food to show up, but it didn't. Then, as soon as I went inside, there was a knock on the door and a plate of food on my bench.
Interesting. It sounds like whoever's delivering the food doesn't want to be observed.
And also knew that they were being observed.
This is starting to ring some bells for me. Abel, would you mind entertaining the listeners for a moment while I grab a book?
Oh, sure.
Be right back.
So, other than the strange food appearances, I've been loving the new place. It's pretty close to the local market. Neighbors are nice. About twice a week, there's a herd of wild blalin that stampedes through town, but I'm told I'll get used to that. What else? Great school system.
Okay, I'm back. I grabbed my trusty copy of Vera Holmes' Bestiary. The things you were describing reminded me of... Yes, here it is. Have you ever heard of a Welrig?
No, what's that?
It's a creature that's known for collecting hobbies. They're very shy, only revealing themselves to those who are willing to teach them a craft or trade. Once the person teaches the Welrig, the creature pays them back with what they've learned until they move on to a new hobby. So, for example, if someone teaches a Welrig how to knit, the Welrig will leave knitted clothes and blankets for the person as thanks. Or, if a person teaches the Welrig how to cook...
Then the Welrig will leave food for them. That has to be it.
The Welrig probably doesn't realize that their teacher doesn't live in the cottage anymore. If they knew, they'd probably stop.
I feel bad accepting food that wasn't intended for me. But how can I tell them to stop if I can't see them?
Well, if they know they're being watched, they might be able to hear you if you just announce it out loud. Or you could leave a sign on the door, but I'm not sure they can read Grevlonian. Well, unless someone taught them.
I guess I could try just saying it out loud. But what if that doesn't work?
Hang on, let me read the next part. Oh, okay, interesting.
What is it?
So, there is a way to summon a Welrig. It's how people offer to teach them. At sunset, you leave your door open and sprinkle a trail of Wiston flower petals leading inside. The Welrig will follow the trail of petals into your home. Once inside, you offer what you'd like to teach the Welrig. If they're interested, they'll stay to learn. If not, they'll disappear.
Can't I just use the opportunity to tell the Welrig that their cooking teacher doesn't live here anymore?
Oh, you could try that. But if they get a sense that you didn't actually summon them to offer lessons, they might get scared away before you can tell them. Then they might not return if you try to summon them again.
I see.
I think your best course of action would be to offer them a new hobby to replace cooking.
But then won't they just start leaving me other things?
Only if you teach them how to make something. But there are other hobbies. Like... Oh, gardening! Do you have a garden?
I do. It's small, but I do like it. Not really a fan of the upkeep, but I do love looking at the flowers.
Well, that's perfect then. You can offer to teach the Welrig how to garden. If they accept, then they'll stop leaving you food and tend to your garden until they're offered a new hobby from someone else. Or if they just tire of it, it looks like they can just quit a hobby on their own accord.
That does sound nice, but what if they don't want to learn how to garden?
Well, then you can keep offering to teach them things until they accept. It seems like they'll be summoned as often as you want, as long as you offer something new every time. I'm sure eventually you'll find something they'll want to learn.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can do that. I'm going to go collect the flower petals now. Thanks so much, Lysphira.
Well, anytime. Good luck. And thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
Bye. I feel like I should pick up more hobbies. But often when I try something new, it ends in near to total disaster. Except for this radio show, of course. I wonder if a Wellrig would be interested in learning how to host a radio show. Could be fun to have a co-host. Well, thank you all for listening to Dear Lysphira. Next up we have... Hot oil sizzling on a griddle. Namorous alive, all this talk of cooking is making me hungry. I'll talk to you all again real soon, listeners. In the meantime, keep your chin up and... don't eat strange meals that magically appear on your doorstep until you're sure where they came from. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Dear Lysphira, which was created, edited, and written by Katie Siegel. Lysphira, the sponsor, and Audible were voiced by Katie Siegel. And I'm Nicole. Hi! If you enjoy the show and want to help it grow, please take a minute and leave a kind review on the Apple Podcasts app. If you do, Katie will fight in a sorority rush battle royale on your behalf. For more Dear Lysphira, check out at Dear Lysphira on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also join the Chattering Grove Discord. The link to that is in the description. Or don't. Live your life. Bye!